Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. Welcome to worship this day. We have come seeking peace and hope. This is the house of the Lord. In it, you will find what you seek. Help us to open our hearts to God's words and will for us. Ask for God's help. It will be given to you. Praise be to God who loves and cares for us. Amen. Our affirmation of faith. I believe I need a shepherd, because I am sometimes timid and other times overconfident, because I often don't know the best path yet pretend I do, because I rush into dead ends or lead others into hazardous places, because my brightest ideas are seamed with darkness, because the things I crave may not be what is good for me. I need a shepherd. I believe in Jesus, the best possible shepherd. His wisdom leads me to the best opportunities. His word comforts me when I'm anxious or afraid. His arm steadies me when I feel weary and heavy laden, and his wounded body displays the cost of my rescue. I believe in Jesus, the best possible shepherd. I believe that I do not find him, but he finds me, that I am under his care by virtue of sheer grace. The love he gives me is to be shared with others, that he treasures my name and prepares a place for me, that his fold transfixes earth and heaven. I trust Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Amen. Our scripture text this morning comes from the 11th chapter of Luke, verses 1 through 13. He was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples." He said to them, "Whenever ye pray, say, 'Father, your name be honored as holy, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not bring us into temptation.'" He also said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I don't have anything to offer him.' Then he will answer from inside and say, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I have gone to bed. I can't get up to give you anything.' I tell you, even though he won't get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his friend's persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, keep asking, and it will be given to you. Keep searching, and you will find. Keep knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who searches finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of God given to the people of God. Thanks be to God. Hopefully, over the past 2 years, I've shared with you that the only way to experience an abundant, fruitful life is to get connected to God. We get connected to God through Jesus. Jesus' words, "You cannot bear fruit unless you remain or abide in me," rings very true. It's a very important stuff, right? The very first step of getting connected with Jesus is to overcome the barrier between us, which is sin. Through Jesus, God has provided a way for us to be forgiven of our sins. But being forgiven doesn't mean we are connected to God or to Jesus. There are means that God has provided for us to stay connected to him. One way we stay connected to God is to be connected with God's family, the church. God expects us to live out our Christian faith within our church family. We stay connected to God by learning about God's word, by reading, by studying the Bible, by singing hymns with each other. We stay connected to God by obeying God's commands. Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do what I command." We also stay connected to God through prayer. What is prayer? This may seem like a pretty obvious answer for most of us here, but I don't take anything for granted anymore. For example, in my course of study to prepare to be a pastor back in 2020, students had to interview each other about matters of relationships with God. And one of the questions that I asked was, "What are your thoughts about prayer?" And one particular student that I interviewed responded first that prayer was talking with God. But after thinking about it, he changed his mind and said, "Actually, prayer was more like reflecting, thinking about, or meditating about the day ahead." Prayer had nothing to do with God. It was more of a way to focus. This way alarmed me, since this guy that I was interviewing was a seminary professor and soon to be appointed as a pastor in the United Methodist Church. So I don't take anything for granted anymore. Biblically speaking, prayer is simply having a conversation with God or spending time in God's presence. If we're going to remain connected to God and enjoy a fruitful life from this relationship with Jesus, we must communicate with Him. Could you imagine claiming to have a best friend that you haven't communicated with in 20 years? How can someone have a close relationship with you if they don't know what's going on in your life, your joys, your hurts, your struggles? Although God knows every detail of our life, He wants to talk with us. And the way we relate to God is through prayer. Typically, we think of prayer as asking God to do something, but prayer is first and foremost a conversation with God. Most of us probably realize the importance of prayer, and yet prayer seems to be one of the easiest areas to overlook in our lives. I don't know about you, but even as a pastor, I find prayer difficult sometimes. I can get easily distracted. I find it difficult to make the time sometimes. And I sometimes wonder if I'm doing it the right way. Am I getting the words right? Perhaps we don't know what to say, as Romans 8:26 says. Sometimes prayer feels more like a chore, doesn't it? One more thing on our schedule than being a joy about being with God. Taking out the trash, maybe. Doing the dishes. Oh yeah, we need to pray. It's easy to get discouraged with prayer because we have not seen any answers. Perhaps praying feels more like talking to the ceiling rather than talking to God. This week, as I prepared for the message, I came across a quote from one of the great writers of prayer in the 20th century. His name was Thomas Merton. And Merton writes, "But let us be convinced of the fact that when it comes to prayer, we will never be anything else but beginners all of our life." I find comfort in knowing a guy that was considered to be an expert on prayer, that even he admits to being a beginner. Rather than feeling guilty about our inadequacies in prayer, we should be courageous like Jesus' disciples and boldly ask Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." Let us learn from the Master. After being with Jesus and witnessing His prayer life, His disciples realized that they indeed were missing something. Can you imagine being one of Jesus' disciples and comparing your own prayers with Jesus? Talk about feeling inadequate, right? On one particular occasion after being with Jesus, while He was praying, one of the disciples finally gathered the courage enough to ask Him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." Today, we are asking Jesus the same thing. In fact, that can be our first prayer to Jesus. "Lord, teach us to pray." We recognize that we are just beginners in prayer, and we need to learn from Jesus how to connect to God in a deeper way through prayer. We need to learn how to delight in spending time with God so that we can see God work in our life and in the lives of those that we pray for. Before we get into Jesus' teaching on prayer, I want us to look at Jesus' model of prayer. What was it about Jesus' life of prayer that the disciples needed to learn? First off, Jesus prayed frequently and in solitary places. Luke 5 verse 16 says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." As busy as Jesus was in His ministry, Jesus prayed frequently. Jesus always seemed to have a crowd of people around who needed healing, desired to hear His teaching, and of course, they were the disciples that He was training too. And yet in the midst of all that, Jesus frequently got away from it all, and He spent time in prayer. We don't know how frequently is frequent. Was it every day? Was it twice a day? Three times a day? We don't know. All we know is that Jesus spent a significant amount of time with His Father. When Jesus prayed, He often withdrew to a solitary place or a lonely place. In other words, a place where there was no one but he and God. Sometimes it was the top of a mountain or in a garden, but it was away from people. No people begging for healing, not even any of his disciples. Jesus made it a priority to get away from the hustle and bustle to talk with his Father. In our fast-paced society with cell phones and emails and computers, seems that we're available to everyone at almost any time, doesn't it? Everyone, that is, except for God. How often do you get away from the distractions of this world to be alone with God, with no cell phone, no computer, no radio or television playing in the background, no family, just you and God? When will you make time to get away to be with God? Jesus created time and space to meet with his Father, God. I know it's sometimes hard to find space, especially for mothers with children at home. Susanna Wesley, the mother of John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, had something like 14 kids, and when she wanted to spend time alone with God, she would literally take her dress and pull it up over her head. I'm not joking. This was a signal to her children that she was spending time with God and they better not bother her. I guess in a situation like that, in households of that size, you have to make space wherever you can. What solitary space can you pray without distraction? I have a space upstairs at home in the office that I can go to, and I can sit and put my head down and just pray. Sometimes I will drive to a place and just leave the AC on, of course, at this time of year, to radio off, no traffic nearby, and just have some time with my Father. Jesus liked to be outside in nature, which makes sense that God created it. And like Jesus, perhaps you can find some place outside or a trail to walk to, of course, weather permitting. Number two is Jesus prayed powerful prayers. There was a second thing that we read about, which the disciples saw modeled in Jesus' prayer life. When Jesus prayed, miraculous things happened. Out of his time with God, things happened. It was during or shortly after times of prayer that some of the most significant events occurred in Jesus' ministry. At Jesus' baptism, Luke's gospel accounts record this. In Luke 3, 21 through 22, it says, "When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased.'" Notice that it was not only after baptism, but also after his prayer that the Holy Spirit descended upon him, and the Father God from heaven says, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Later in his ministry, a similar thing happened when he was on a mountain with his three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as flash of a lightning, according to Luke 9:29. This change of appearance, which we call the transfiguration, occurred in response to his prayer. Jesus' three disciples were able to see him for whom he truly was in his full glory. On yet another occasion, Jesus had a crowd of thousands around him, and he was given two fish and five loaves of bread by a little boy. And Jesus prayed by giving thanks to God, and he proceeded to hand out baskets and baskets of food until everyone had their fill, and then baskets and baskets came back filled to the brim of the leftovers. Lest you think, well, that's Jesus. Of course, he can do those things. Listen to what Jesus says in John 14:12. "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father." The power that Jesus had did not come from his own human frame, but the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's the same Holy Spirit that is in you and me and every believer. And it came from the Father's answer to prayer. Many times we underestimate the power of prayer and the work of the Holy Spirit in today's world. We often get easily discouraged because we do not see an immediate, earth-shattering, miraculous bit of answer. The person with cancer that we pray for isn't healed, or the marriage that we pray for isn't mended. The people who are far from God don't seem to return. When we don't see the results we hope for, it's easy to give up. But as Jesus reminds us that we cannot give up praying, and that we must pray not only in our word, but in boldness and persistence as if it is a just cause. We must keep asking because it will be given to you. Keep seeking and you will find, and keep knocking because the door will be opened. The illustration that Jesus used was a man getting up at midnight and he went to his neighbor's house to wake him up to get 3 loaves of bread because he didn't have any for his guest. To us, this seems pretty rude, doesn't it? But in a Middle Eastern Jewish culture, which prided itself on hospitality, the rudeness was from the neighbor who refused to hand over the bread until he persisted. Although the neighbor initially said no, he eventually conceded in order to keep his integrity. Jesus' point was that if a human neighbor is willing to do that, how much more will God respond to our needs if we just ask? Of course, God is going to give you good things if you ask, particularly the gift of the Holy Spirit. We must pray in faith, believing that God is going to do powerful things if we ask, and we ask with persistence. John Wesley once said, "God does nothing but in answer to prayer." Think about that for a second. In fact, if you have a pencil and a place to write it, maybe on your bulletin, write that down somewhere. What if God did nothing but in answer to our prayers? How much would God get done? Prayer is essential for God to act in our world today. Whatever the reason for the disciples asking Jesus to teach them to pray, Jesus decided to teach them how to pray, and he used a form for prayer which we call the Lord's Prayer. Jesus modeled the prayer, and he taught the prayer. His response to his disciples on their request for his teaching on a prayer was a message that we're quite familiar with, aren't we? He said to his disciples that when you pray, you say, "Father, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who sins or debts against us. And lead us not into temptation." Jesus' introductory course on prayer was to pray what we call the Lord's Prayer. One of the dangers in prayer is that we just say them without any thought. Jesus gave us a personal, powerful prayer to pray in the Lord's Prayer, but often we just say it without any understanding or meaning. We just say it as if it is a duty. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus reveals this prayer not only to be a way to prayer, but a model for prayer. This is how you should pray. Not just a word for word, but also to use it as a model for our prayers, to conform with Jesus. I believe in order for us to be truly connected to God and experience the fullness of life that he wants to offer us, we need people of prayer in our lives. Won't you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, I pray that in the power of your Holy Spirit, I may live my life as Christ lived his, which was in continuous, prayerful fellowship with our Father in heaven. May I learn to live in total dependence upon you, only saying and doing things that I hear from you. May I learn to walk daily in spirit and truth, living in submission to the inner promptings of the Holy Spirit and remaining in unbroken fellowship with you. May my life become one of dependent humility, goodness, and grace without compromising the good news of the gospel of God. But may I speak out the truth in goodness and love to your praise and glory. We ask this in Jesus' holy and precious name, as he taught us and his disciples to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne. Make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may I the consolation share till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. Seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.